Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fifth Sunday of Easter. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. John and read and discuss the Word of Life for May. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Grounded in Truth, the third Saturday of each month, Our Lady of Corpus Christi and young Catholic adults present Grounded in Truth, a day of praise, worship, adoration, confessions, fellowship, live music, and compline. Events begin with the Holy Hour in the blue-domed Adoration Chapel, followed by confessions. Then everyone meets around the fire pit outside the cafe for snacks, fun, fellowship, and more Christian music. The day ends with night prayers. For more information, call Our Lady of Corpus Christi, 1200 Lantana, at 361-289-0807.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well. How are you, Barbara, on this first Sunday of May?
I know. The year seems to be going by quickly.
Yes. So
glad
very,
to have
very
May.
Very quickly, yeah.
It's good. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning was from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me, as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today's gospel is giving us a metaphor in how we can abide in the risen Christ and also let God's good works be done through us.
Yes. Yes. First thing that struck me in preparing for today was that all creation is created through him, through Jesus. So even speaking of these nature symbols, the vine, the branches, the olive trees, all those metaphors, the sheep and the shepherd, and they're really so familiar to Jesus, not just because he walked in those areas where these things are so prominent, but everything, all creation is created through Jesus Christ. So he's really speaking something that's very close to his own existence and life. But this one in particular, I think, is familiar to all of us, but it's also very meaningful and close to all of us. But I think it has to almost be taken line by line, because there's so much in here packed into these eight verses that can help us. I was also reviewing, I lived in Italy for a total of 8 years, and it's certainly common everywhere you go, north to south, the different vineyards that you see mm-hmm. along the side mm-hmm. of a mountain, in the backyard, and you see the different seasons that they go through. And so in the first part of the reading today, it says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the Father prunes. The Father is the vine grower, and he's the one that prunes it. The vines have to be pruned. In fact, during the winter, they don't hardly exist. You just see sticks. Mm-hmm. But the vine growers are out there with their snippers, and they're pruning all the dead branches. So it's a very real image that Jesus gives there. And so I think it's also translating into our own life that if we're not bearing fruit, the Father's going to wake us up, because right. pruning is a process of giving new life and reawakening in the vine, in the vines, what the branches can bear. And so I think we need to keep that in mind, that Jesus is not just speaking in abstract terms. He's applying what happens in nature to us. And so if we're asleep, there are moments in our life that we're being pruned. And sometimes we'll say, well, I'm being punished, I'm being ignored by God and all these kind
he's
of things.
Forgotten
he's
me.
Forgotten me. But no, he's pruning us. And I mm-hmm. think this is the joy and the beauty of living the Christian life. He's pruning us in every moment, in every circumstance, if we have, this is what faith is all about, to have the faith that to see that the hand of God is at work in everything.
Well, Bishop, when as you're talking about this and what you see in Italy, I'm thinking about our recent freeze that we had in February,
right.
you know, where this entire town was brown
yeah.
and everything was dark. And even before people have sometimes trimmed and pruned or whatever, we're experiencing new growth.
And some of it will never come back,
and some of it will
unfortunately,
right?
And it's another sign to all of us that how we can easily die on the vine, mm-hmm. as we say. So what is the pruning process? It's not with snippers. If we look at the next verses, you are already pruned because of the word that I spoke you. Living the word of God, which is our duty, which is our life, which is our joy in the Christian life, to live what Jesus said, is what prunes us. Because what does it take away from us? To live the word of God, which is absolute truth, which is absolute joy, which is absolute love, prunes the old person. St. Paul used to speak of the old man and the new man. So one who is rooted in God's word and tries to make that real in their life has to turn away from, or naturally turns away from, what is wrong, evil, that is not love, that is not merciful. So St. Paul speaks of this beautifully in the book of the Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit as opposed to fruits of the flesh. Mm-hmm. The fruits of the flesh, of course, are impurity and all these kind of things that taking advantage of people, being angry, hatred, and all these kind of things that are part of the flesh, the way of life, without the gospel. The fruit of the gospel, which is given to us by the Spirit, is joy and peace and generosity and self-control. This is the pruning that takes place when we really are connected and live in, dwell in Jesus. We take the other path. So that's why Jesus says here, if his word is alive in us, we're already pruned. Mm-hmm. So we even see with faith that the difficulties we go through are part of the word of God. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you, for example. So there's always a negative but a positive in every word of God. That's another discourse for another time,
right.
But that is it's what it's the pruning happens by the word of God. The result of remaining, he goes on to say, whoever remains in me, which means remains in my word, which means to live it out in the simplest of circumstances, in the little things, as St. Teresa of Lisieux would say, in the smallest of things, will bear fruit. I was reminded just yesterday by one of the priests. We were talking at night, and he was speaking of that last moment in toward the end of St. Teresa's life. She recognized, and of course, many of us who look as sisters living in a convent would not think this, but I mean, it's a family. So there was one sister who didn't like her, maybe because of jealousy or whatever. But St. Teresa writes that she had a sister that in the convent that didn't like her, but she knew she had to love her. And so that's the fruit that the word bears, because the word says, if you only love those who love you, what good is that? Any sinner can do that. We're called to a higher standard. And so the word living inspires in us action toward our neighbor and toward God that normally we would ignore or take another route, which would be our death, spiritual death. But we've come to life, to live a new life through the word. So Jesus says, whoever remains in me, in other words, remains in my word, I will be in him, and he or she will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. In other words, without God's word, it's going to be really tough, if not impossible, to love an enemy, to turn the other cheek, to go the extra mile, to give your coat when they only ask for this, to do that extra, that more. That takes the grace of God's word, Jesus living in us through the action of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I will give you an advocate who will remind you of all that I have said to you, and will be your courage and your strength to fulfill it. And so then finally, the other thing I think is beautiful at the end of these eight verses, if you remain in me and my word remains in you. In other words, you really become grafted onto the vine, that the branch, each one of us, grafted into this flowing life, which comes from the word and the sacraments, to live in that milieu, I would say, but also the flowing grace that comes through that. Ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Now, that doesn't mean going through a convenience line and ordering through the microphone and getting it, within 3 seconds or 3 minutes at the window. It doesn't mean that. It could be 10 years.
Right.
But if you look at your life and if you really in faith asked for something, even as a child, I used to say this when I would work with seminarians in the seminary. They would kind of be marveled that something was going on in their life, and I would stop them and say, did you ever ask for that? They would think, well, maybe 10 years ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. Every prayer is answered. If it's really done in faith as a disciple of Jesus, as a branch on the vine, it will be done for you. And that's the confidence that we have as we live life. So this gospel to me is always exciting. There's so much there, and there's so much to say to us today to really recognize the faith that God wants us to have, the beauty of that faith, the excitement of that faith, and the glorious nature of faith, to not just live this life in the natural sphere, but to live it also in the spiritual sphere and to bring life to others.
Mm-hmm. And see all the green come up from that.
Yes.
So, Bishop, before we started this, I mentioned to you that doing my research, I ran across a word that I had not seen before. And let's see if I can pronounce it. Johannine?
Johannine.
Johannine. All right. Johannine.
Johannine.
And so could you share what that means?
Well, the Johannine is John, the writings of John. So Johannine corpus, they would call it, are the writings of St. John, the evangelist. So it refers to the Gospel of John and the first, second, and third letters of St. John that you find in the the epistles. So those four things, the Gospel and the three epistles of John, are the Johannine corpus, meaning that they were written by John.
Thank you, Bishop. And thank you for the beautiful explanation of our gospel. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for May. Please stay with us.
When Pope Pius XII granted the Diocese of Corpus Christi the privilege of celebrating its patronal feast on a solemnity of the Church, he said, Corpus Christi is the diocese with the most beautiful name in the world. This year, the Solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ will occur Sunday, June 6th. This year's diocese celebration will be held at Corpus Christi Cathedral beginning at 11 a.m. Thursday, June 3rd, with welcoming remarks and activities, followed by daily Mass at 12:05 with Bishop Mulvey. Beginning at 1 p.m., there'll be holy hours filled with adoration, confessions, reflection, and music. At 7 p.m., you're invited to participate in a Eucharistic procession ending with benediction. Live video streaming of events will be available on several Facebook platforms. For more detailed information, including a procession map, please visit feastofcc.org.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, it being the first Sunday of the month, we have a beautiful, once again, wonderful word of life for May. And Bishop, as you just said to me before we started, this is a Johannine letter.
Right. Very good. You got it.
I pronounced it right. Okay.
It's about the 10th.
10th time, yeah.
Attempt, but you did it. So the word of life for this month of May 2021, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. God is love is perhaps the most luminous definition of God found in Scripture. It is stated only twice and found in this text, which is a letter or perhaps an exhortation that echoes the message of the fourth gospel. The author is, in fact, a disciple who follows the spiritual tradition of the Apostle John. He is writing to the first century Christian community, which, unfortunately, is already facing an exceedingly difficult trial, namely discord and division, both in terms of faith and of witness. God is love. From within, God lives the fullness of communion as Trinity, and this love overflows onto all created beings. To those who accept this love, God gives the power to become His children, with His DNA capable of loving. His love is given freely and frees us from all fear and timidity. To fulfill the promise of reciprocal communion, we in God and God in us, it is essential to remain in this same active, dynamic, creative love. For this reason, Jesus' disciples were called to love one another, give their lives, and share their goods with anyone in need. With this love, the community remained united, prophetic, and faithful. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. This is a strong and clear proclamation for us too. Nowadays, we sometimes feel overwhelmed by unpredictable events that are difficult to control, such as the pandemic or other personal and collective tragedies. We may feel lost and frightened and be tempted to close in on ourselves, to build walls to protect ourselves from those who seem to threaten our security, rather than build bridges to meet each other. Is it possible to continue to believe in God's love in these circumstances? Is it possible to continue to love? Josiane from Lebanon was abroad when she heard about the terrible explosion at the port of Beirut in August 2020. She confided to those who, like her, live this word of life. I felt pain, anger, anguish, sadness, and bewilderment in my heart. I kept asking if all that Lebanon had gone through already was not yet enough. I thought of the neighborhood where I was born and grew up, now razed to the ground. The relatives and friends who were dead, injured, or displaced. The buildings, schools, and hospitals that I know very well, all destroyed. I tried to stay close to my mother and brothers and to answer the many messages I received from so many. I wanted to support them with affection, prayer, and by listening as each spoke of the suffering that had been unleashed. I wanted to believe, and I do believe, that these encounters with those who suffer are a call to respond with the love that God has placed in our hearts. Despite the tears, I discovered a light in the generous acts of many Lebanese people. It was often the younger generation who emerged, looking around and brought help to those in need. I felt a great sense of hope in seeing that there are young people who are willing to seriously engage in politics because they are convinced that the solution is the path of true dialogue, harmony, and discovering that we are brothers and sisters. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Focolare's founder, Kara Lubick, offers us a valuable suggestion to help us live this word of the gospel. She said, "We can no longer separate the cross from glory. We cannot separate the crucified Lord from the risen one. They are two aspects of the same mystery of God who is love. Let us try to fulfill what God wants from us, wherever we are. Let us try to love the people around us. If we do this, the effect will be surprising and more than we could hope for. Our soul will be filled with peace, love, and even pure joy and light. Enriched by this experience, we will be able to help all our brothers and sisters more effectively to find happiness amid their tears and transform all that is troubling them into serenity. In this way, we will become instruments of joy for many people, instruments of that happiness for which every human heart yearns."
Well, once again, it's a lot to absorb this month. A lot. I really liked it in the very beginning where the commentary says, God gives the power to become his children with his own DNA. Capable of loving. I just never thought about his DNA.
Yeah, but I mean, when you think of the essence, we're not really tuned into philosophy, you know, what is, but philosophy is really a reflection, who am I? Mm-hmm. And so when you combine that and you ask the question, who is God? You know, we can say what God does, what we've learned about God. But when you say, yes, but who is God? As she says here in this commentary, there's twice in the scriptures where it's God is love. In other words, the very essence, God's being is love. It's not anything else but love. And this is hard for us, you know, not just Americans, for anyone living in a material world, to be able to stretch beyond the material, which is not bad in itself, but to look at pure being. That's why, you know, when you look at the scriptures and in the desert, Moses said, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am who am." Remember that when he was saying, "Who are you?" That's telling me to go and speak to Pharaoh. I am, tell him I am who am. In other words, I am pure being. I am love. And so as scriptures move through time and Jesus comes to fully identify and to live who God is, because he himself is also God, but in human form, you see love put into action, what love, what the actions of love are. So Jesus translates who God is in human form, but in essence, God is love. So that's his DNA.
Mm-hmm. And you jogged my memory, because during the freeze, I was catching up on all the South Texas Catholics and did read the Communion of DNA that you wrote.
So, you know, it's something that we don't think of very often, but that if we truly are children of God, then our DNA, by transformed through the Eucharist, through the Word, through being on the vine, the gospel of the 15th chapter of St. John's gospel, is to be grafted into Jesus, which is, as he says, then into the Father, which means to live love. So the more that love permeates, I'm not talking about, as I say in when I do confirmation, I'm not talking about Hollywood love.
Right.
But I'm talking about pure love, you know, going beyond ourselves and what we see so much in the gospel and translated in Jesus' own life, even on the cross. You know, Father, forgive them, Why have you abandoned me? But into your hands I commit. That's pure love. Mm-hmm. And so to experience that, to live that out in our own life, is to be transformed and to experience God. And so that's why St. John speaks so much in his gospel, and also especially in the first letter, whoever abides, in other words, living in, not just stopping in for a moment, mm-hmm. but who abides, stays there, stays with, immersed in God, abides in God, and God then abides in us. And that's the beauty of the transformation that that God's love in us can bring into our existence, our life.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful, beautiful thoughts, Bishop, and a lot for us to think about. As Kara Lubick said at the end, we can't separate the crucified Lord from the risen one.
Right, yeah. Because sometimes people hook on to the resurrection, but you forget he got there because he died. Or some people just live a mournful life in death, but he rose. So it's one Jesus, but he did both. And we can't, it's not one or the other, it's both.
And we need to remember that. Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Father, as we contemplate the gift of life that comes only from your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask you to give us the courage that we find from the Holy Spirit to lead us to a life of love, to a life of mercy, and a life of dialogue. And we ask all of this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your week and a blessed day.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.